This is the Impactful Wisdom Podcast, helpful strategies for a successful dental career. Brought to you by the campus team of Heartland Dental. Now, here are your hosts, Kathy Tellis, Vincent Battles, and Amanda Rockland.
Hi, Amanda and Vincent. How are you guys today?
Hello, Kathy.
I'm doing well.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you. Well, listen, today's episode is about time management. I think this is probably one of the things that I'm constantly trying to get myself better at. Do you guys agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Agree with you trying to get better at it?
Well, you.
I mean, yeah, it was like.
Is that a question?
The way you said it, I'm like. Do you agree with that? I'm like, I'm just trying to understand what the question is.
I agree. I think, I think it's easy to get lost, like, especially now that like everyone's home, it's so easy to lose track of time, right? We have all these distractions that are going on at home. And in general, it's kind of hard too, right? Especially with our schedules where we're typically traveling when we're not at home. So I think it's been even more distracting and, having to really kind of, when you see yourself slip, kind of refocus that energy and organizing what am I doing and planning out, your day or your week. What about you, Vincent?
I'm thinking about time management from a standpoint of what tools, devices do we use, can we use that is at our disposal to just try to help us beyond the calendar, but beyond Outlook. What are some other things that keep us on track? And I was talking to someone actually earlier today, and she was showing me, and this lady is very, very detailed, like truly detail oriented. If she's going to be somewhere, if she's supposed to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, she's going to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I asked her, how do you manage yourself? She said, well, part of it is OCD. The other part is, that's what she said. The other part is she uses different types of tools. And I was trying to look at the one that she recommended earlier. And so you all keep talking, I'll try to find it. But I think, what do we have at our disposal that helps us manage all the different things we've got in our lives, which is very much competing for our time?
Well, I was just going to say that's actually a really great segue, because today I'm actually speaking with Charles Buchanan, and he is the ASDA District 10 trustee. So on top of being a dental student, having to try to juggle family work-life balance, if you would, he's also in charge of the entire district, which is pretty amazing. And so he kind of talks about all of these different tools. Funny that you talked about that, Vincent, but he talks about his tools and his ways to kind of keep himself organized. And I really love that. Are you guys ready to listen to what he has to say?
Yes. Yes. Yeah? Yes.
All right. Well, let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Impactful Wisdom Podcast. I am so thrilled to have this interview today with a very special person that I met a few years ago. Charles is currently a D4 student at UNLV. He is in the heart of his fourth year, and he continues to shine brightly. He is ASDA's District 10's trustee. Charles, hi, how are you?
Hey, thank you, Kathy. What a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. I'm just so happy that you've joined us today on the Impactful Wisdom Podcast. Before we even get started, Charles, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So like you said, my name is Charles Buchanan. I'm a soon-to-be graduate of UNLV School of Dental Medicine here in Las Vegas. I was born and raised here. My family's here. My closest friends are here. I went to college in Reno, Nevada, which is about 7 hours north from Las Vegas. So yeah, home means Nevada for sure.
Tell us a little bit about your favorite hobbies. What do you like to do outside of dentistry?
Yeah, for sure. So some hobbies of mine, I'm really into pop culture, like anything, television, film, music. I have a pretty good grasp on it. And like the Oscars is like my Super Bowl. It's my event of the year. I clear my schedule. I make a bracket with my selections for each category. I watch every film nominated. Like it's serious to me. Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Oh my God. No, like last year I predicted 17 out of the 24 categories correctly. Like no one's matching me in my Oscar game.
Oh my goodness. That is so cool. Well, now can you do that same type of brackets with the lottery numbers so I can win the lottery?
Right. As soon as it comes to Nevada and you can play the lottery, like I'm there.
Awesome. So tell us, how did you fall in love with dentistry? What made you get into dental, you know, the whole dental industry?
I love answering this question because it's really personal to me. It's actually my big sister, Jasmine. And so she got her braces when she was about 13, I want to say. And when she got them off about 2 years, 3 years later, she just blew up. I mean, she had this light about her. She was always smiling, taking selfies, like, you know, the mirror kind before we had the front facing cameras.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, like dentistry can do that for someone. Like you can really change someone's entire perspective of themselves. And I started looking into it and everything I found mentioned, you know, the stability of their career, great income, a great work-life balance. You know, it's always in the top five of best jobs. And I was like, okay, I can do this. So I did the whole college thing and prereqs, shadowing, et cetera, and just to get into dental school. But I have to tell you, is what's kept me passionate about dentistry is being able to give to people exactly what my sister received. You know, in the dental school population, a lot of times I have patients that haven't seen a dentist in 5 or 10 years, or I've had patients where I'm their first dentist. And being able to treat someone comprehensively and getting to the end of their care, you know, I've helped change their life, literally. You know, I've restored their health, their smile, improved daily habits. They're less anxious about going to the dentist. They're recommending their family. I mean, that's where I receive the most joy.
Kudos to your sister, Jasmine, for getting you connected into this world, your passion of helping others. You know, I was just going to say, when I was growing up, I was deathly afraid of going to the dentist. And I just remember as a child going into the dentist, there were clowns everywhere. And I think that, I was like, I'm afraid of clowns, number one. And you have like, I swear there were probably like 7 clowns that were all over the front office lobby area. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't even want to go in. And so my mom actually, we went and switched to a different dentist, and we were with that dentist for 30 plus years. In actuality, he passed down his practice down to his son. So yeah, it's crazy. And obviously when I got into our new dentist, we loved him, loved his family. And it was just, it became a part of our routine every year.
All right. Taking notes. No clowns in my future.
Definitely no clowns, please. So would you kind of tell us about ASDA? For those listeners who don't know who ASDA is in the dental world, what do you do and how do you support the dental students across the country?
All right. So ASDA stands for the American Student Dental Association. It's the largest student-run dental association in the United States. We represent more than 23,000 pre-doctoral and pre-dental students. We advocate for dental students on issues such as licensure and student debt reform, or reducing barriers to care for our patients. We provide career planning, leadership development, wellness resources. We really just want to develop a community to help students succeed. This year, ASDA's Board of Trustees, we appointed a diversity and inclusion task force to further integrate diversity and inclusion into ASDA's initiatives. And I'm proud to serve on that task force, as well as the licensure task force. And, you know, it's a unique time to address students' needs during the COVID-19 pandemic. We've began offering a variety of webinars, virtual chapter idea exchanges. We had our first virtual leadership conference. And we have also collaborated with more than 40 associations in organized dentistry to advocate for our profession and our patients.
I didn't realize that you guys actually created this diversity and inclusion committee as part of your ASDA group. And how did you get into this position of being the District 10 trustee?
Yeah, my journey with ASDA goes way back. It actually began when I was a pre-dental student myself. I joined my junior year of college when I was beginning my application process. So ASDA releases a guide to getting into dental school, and it contains information on all U.S. dental schools. And I thought it was a really great resource, which is why I originally signed up to be a part of ASDA. And I was like, okay, let me check this out. And it was really helpful on my search for schools to apply to. And I kept my membership until I got to school. And one of my coworker sisters, at the time, she was graduating from UNLV. I texted her and I asked her about, you know, what organizations should I join? I've always liked being part of student clubs and orgs. And I knew that when I got to dental school, I wanted to continue that. And she told me the only organization that she was still active in after 4 years was ASDA. So right then I was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, this organization is the real deal. I have to join. So I joined as a pre-doctoral member on the first day of school, literally, and the rest is history. I was president my second year, then I became president my third. I was able to meet and network with a lot of students from my district in states like Utah, Oregon, Arizona, Washington, and I really grew to love everything about it. And then towards the end of my presidency, I started to think about what the next year would look like for me, and I couldn't imagine not having ASDA be a part of it. It played such a huge role in my first 3 years, and I began talking about the possibility of running for trustee with Aditi. She's the immediate past District 10 trustee, and this was at our annual NLC conference. And we were talking and she was telling me all about the roles and the part that a trustee plays in the big picture. And I was like, okay, I can see this for me. And then I started bouncing the idea around with my other presidents at the time. And everyone was just super, super supportive and encouraged me to go for it. So I applied, I went through the whole process and I was elected, you know, and it's been so rewarding and so challenging at the same time. I mean, I was elected on March 7th of this year, 2020.
Oh, and, my goodness.
You know, like a week later. Oh, yeah.
The country shuts down.
Exactly. I mean, we were flying to the conference with gloves and wipes and masks at the time. So it was very early and in the whole pandemic. And then, like I said, the next week or so, like the shutdowns began. And so I've had this experience completely virtually. I mean, I'm leading a team of like 90% of people I've never met in person, which is very strange. But as trustee, I'm responsible for providing resources to our 7 local chapter presidents in my district. I communicate national news, events, and strategies. And in the boardroom with my other trustees, I get to make decisions on strategic goals, finances, initiatives. I appoint members to positions. It's really cool. And I think it's taught me so much about my own like resiliency and ability to pivot. And it's improved my communication. I learned how to set boundaries, to be decisive and defend my stance, and also to ask for help when I need it. And it's just so much I'm grateful for. I would do it all over again.
True leadership skills that you're learning. Did you even think about that going into dental school, that you'd be getting into true leadership role outside of dentistry? This is kind of crazy, isn't it?
Not at all. I thought I was going to go in and learn how to fix teeth. I didn't. This was never part of what I imagined dental school would be like for me.
The fact of the matter is how you've evolved, even just in the couple of years that you and I, when I first met you, I just remember you coming in as a brand new, maybe you were a member yet. I don't even remember. And then you became president and I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And then to be a trustee. And I'm like, yes, I see how your growth has just evolved. Yeah, it's great. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
And so let's kind of talk about, because today's episode is about time management. And the reason why I wanted to ask you to join me today is because not only you're a leader on campus, but you're also having to prioritize tasks. And oftentimes when I'm talking to students, you know, they don't have the kind of load that you're holding, right? All of the balls that's juggling or the plates that's juggling up in the air for you, yet they're having a hard time trying to manage just their own little space of time management with school and family. Mm-hmm. And so how do you do it? I mean, how are you keeping sane? And tell us what your routine is. Tell us how you're prioritizing your day. Let's talk about this whole idea of time management. So
absolutely. I mean, I wish I knew, you know, sometimes I'm just like, I guess I'm just doing it. But I mean, time management is something I feel like you can never fully nail down. But I do think I do a good job of balancing many responsibilities. So I have certain blocks of my day where I only focus on a certain aspect, right? So currently what that looks like for me, I wake up at about 6 a.m. on Monday through Friday. And for about an hour and a half, I focus on my emails and my clinic to-dos, whether that's notes, sending emails to faculty, adding in appointments for patients. I have 3 email accounts and they're all Gmail based. So that's nice. It's all in one app. But I start with a cup of coffee and I sit at my desk and I just go through my emails. I go through my personal email first, you know, like anything that I might have received after bedtime, and then my school email, and then my ASDA email. I do it in that order purposely. I do it in that order because that's how I choose to prioritize my life. Now, I have to take care of myself, number one. If my personal affairs aren't in order, then everything else is just going to fall apart. And then I check my school email. I'm a student. first, and then I reply to anything that needs a response. And then lastly is when I check my Asda email, and then I have an Asda Slack account as well, and I check in there. And one thing I have to talk about this. One thing I love about Gmail, and I'm not sure if other platforms have this capability, but I love the schedule to send feature. I can plan out emails, and I don't have, if I don't want it to go out right away, and I can just load them all in one queue. It's great. And it seems to be working out pretty well for me. And so after I respond to all of my emails, and then I log into Axiom, which is our electronic health record software, and I check what's going on for me in clinic that day. So I'll review patient charts for the day, or I'll review x-rays if I'm doing, if I'm doing a filling that day and I want to refresh my memory on what the cavity looks like on the tooth. I'll look at the x-ray or notes that I've left for myself. And then I start getting ready for my day. And when I come home, I usually have some type of online meeting for maybe an hour or two. We're all on Zoom these days, right? And the rest of the evening is for leisure. So I'll go to the gym, I'll watch a movie, talk with family and friends, but I really do my best to live in the moment and focus on the task at hand. And I'm constantly working on being mindful of what I'm doing.
It's like a good to-do, right? You have block times during your day and you're actually executing that, because a lot of people can block out their times during the day, but they might be on Instagram or they might, right? I mean, how do you limit those distractions?
Oh, totally. I mean, at school, we talked about, Instagram and things like that. I don't respond to anything on my phone unless it's an emergency. And definitely during patient treatment hours, my phone's just in my pocket and it's like out of sight, out of mind. You know, I personally don't use it, but do not disturb is an option that I recommend if maybe that won't work for you. And then at lunch, if I have time, maybe I'll check my messages or do a quick scroll through social media. It's not really something I engage with during my day. That has taken practice. It's not something that I was able to do overnight. But like I mentioned before, just being mindful of being in the moment. I'm focusing on this. My patient's in my chair right now. And some of those things can wait. And so like at lunch, I'll check my emails and things like that. But I like to go through all my emails at the beginning of the day because no one else is awake. So there's no one for me to text. No one's posting on Instagram. And I think that's what's been the most conducive to a distraction-free environment, or even later at night, if that works for you too. I just find like those moments where the rest of the world is kind of quiet as well. And that's where I kind of am able to be the most productive.
I am learning so much from you right now, Charles. And I'm just actually reminding myself of when I was a director at a school and I managed a lot of people at that time. And then of course, at the same time, I was finishing up my master's degree.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, why did I wait to get my master's degree when I married with a kid? And it's like, whoa, how did I manage all of that? And I have to say, it was just those quiet times. I remember when both my husband and my daughter were asleep and I would literally go online and I would complete my homework. And it was that time for me. It was a block time on my schedule. Everyone knew, okay, it's mommy's time and I'm in my office and I'm literally plugging away, getting my MBA at that time. And I was like, I love this. I love the reminder that you're sharing with me today. So this is great. This is good stuff, Charles. And so in regards to deadlines, obviously there's deadlines that's coming at you all the time, from school deadlines, from ASA deadlines, probably even family deadlines, right? And how do you manage all of that? Like in a calendar, or do you have like a to-do list? Do you have a whiteboard? I don't know. I mean, talk to us about good stuff.
I can tell you I've tried it all. Tried it all until I've figured out what works for me. And I use a traditional planner. I use a Passion planner. It's the brand I've used since college. And I like it because not only it functions as a calendar, but there are spaces for to-do lists and goals and reflections. And I still write down all my deadlines in my planner. And that's something I'll usually do in the morning while looking through my emails, because of course, a lot of my emails have the deadlines in them. But I couldn't imagine my life without a planner. And like, if you don't have a planner, truly, you're doing it wrong. And I don't care if it's the calendar app on your phone, or like you said, like a whiteboard or a post-it, but you need some type of system of recording important dates and deadlines. I also have a post-it on my laptop keyboard that I'll use for like casual things, like set reminders for myself to call a patient or fill out this Google form or, order something online. And since I'm on my laptop every day, it's helpful to have it right in front of me so I don't forget. And of course, after I accomplish a task, I cross off the item so I know it's complete. And that works for me. I've tried to do the digital, but I don't know. There's just something about just writing it down for me. I just think it integrates into my mind more and I'm able to remember it. And every day I check my planner. So before I go to bed, I I still have this to do. I'll get to that tomorrow, or, you know, I've crossed this off. And I think when you're like looking at all the things you have to do, it's really overwhelming, but it helps me. Like if I just like cross it off, I feel so productive. I'm like, okay, I did something. I accomplished something.
Oh yeah.
I like that little note too. Just like, okay, like it's off the list, like one less thing.
You know, I am a to-do lister and I have a physical calendar. I'm very old school too. It's like people are like, oh wow, you're a writer, huh, Kathy? I'm like, yeah, I still write things on a notepad. You can see that for those listeners out there. You guys can't see it, but I have a big notebook. I'm constantly writing notes in there and I have an actual planner. I love the Passion planner. I've never used it actually, but I just have a regular calendar that works. Everything is listed out. I like the times for me because then I can block it physically on my calendar. But I also like the calendars that have a section where I can write my to-dos down because I am a to-do person. And just like you, I'm such a, I don't know what that word is, and I feel accomplished when I can just cross that thing off my checklist.
Yeah.
Do you, and this is totally random, but you know, you completed a task and it wasn't on your to-do list. Do you write that to-do thing that's in there and then you check it off? I do that. Okay. No judgment here, but I'll do that. I'm like, wait, this wasn't on my calendar. And
I got to have that on there. Yeah.
I got to write it in there and I check it off.
Everything counts.
It does. And it really does help build with the time management piece of your day. And so as far as, I mean, gosh, you've just given us so many great nuggets about how you're managing your time well. Why do you think this is all really important for you? I mean, you said that you started by using these calendars from when you were in college. I guess my question is, why'd you start that? And because it something triggered somehow, somewhere in your mind that this is a key component that you need to have.
It was all about quality of life for me. In college, I was also, we used the title director. I was a director of a large student organization, and I was in charge of overseeing some co-chairs for committees and, of course, applying to dental school and keeping up with my courses. I was working part-time. So I had a lot of stuff going on in undergrad, too. And if I didn't manage my time well, it would just overwhelm me. It would consume me. And so, like I said, it goes back to quality of life. I'm so less stressed when I know that I'm working efficiently.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, I'm a huge fan of systems. They make life so much easier. And I mean, time is all we have and we can't get it back once it's passed. I mean, especially as a dental student, when we have so much on our plates, we have courses, patients, extracurriculars, family, friends, dating. If you don't stay on top of it, it will consume you. It will. Mm-hmm. And I think just going beyond that, when you manage your own personal time well, it means you're more mindful of others' time. And I'm all about being considerate. You know, when you're in these organizations or you're playing a role in a team and clinic, if you're not staying on top of what you got going on, then that starts to impact the others that you're working with. And that's kind of what I was saying for me in college was a lot of people were depending on me. And, you know, if I drop the ball here, then that kind of messes up everything for everyone else. And I didn't want to be that person that lets people down.
Sure.
And so I was like, okay, we got to get on top of this, Charles. And I made a plan and I stuck to it and I become dedicated to it.
It really is important. And ironically, a lot of folks who have a hard time with time management, it's because of this, right? They're overwhelmed with so much. That's the hardest part because everybody can get overwhelmed by school, family, life, extracurricular stuff, being in clubs or organizations. But if you can compartmentalize it a little bit, whether it's with a calendar, having a to-do list, checking them off, I think that makes it more efficient. So let's describe with juggling all of this in your life, how do you manage stress?
Yeah, I feel like I could be better at it, but I will say that I confront my feelings head on. You know, in my experience, if I push my feelings to the side, that just creates tension in my body and it'll wear me down. You know, dentistry is hard and it's extremely harder when you're in the middle of learning it. And there's something I mess up every day, but I change my perspective on it and I look at the opportunity gained. I usually go, you know, I go back and review something in a textbook or I take a CE course so that I'm better equipped to handle the situation differently next time. And I'll bounce ideas off my mentors and ask how would you have responded in this situation? Something like that. And like side note, like anyone listening to this right now, find a mentor. Find someone who you can turn to and confide in and get feedback from. It's helped me so much on my journey here in dental school. And my mentors helped me problem solve. They just listen to me rant sometimes. They offer a story from when they were in my shoes to let me know my experience isn't unique. And I'm very thankful for my mentors. But going back to like the stress at work, if I receive harsh feedback from a faculty member or I do some clinical work that I feel, I could have done better on. I sit with that emotion and I feel it. I give myself maybe 30 seconds to a minute to feel angry or disappointed, anxious, whatever that feeling is. And then I go, okay, you got work to do. And I keep grinding away, and I also surround myself with friends who aren't dentists. I think that's so important to not have to talk about teeth all day.
That's true.
It can be a lot. And so I have to distance myself from it and just talk about something silly or share something funny that I saw on social media or something. That helps me.
Yeah, it helps you decompress a little bit. And when you're not having to talk about teeth all day with your surrounding folks, it's actually nice to just have a reprieve, right?
Yeah. Then it gets me out of my own head, gets me out of my own headspace and thinking about, all the things that happen throughout the day. It kind of distracts me and takes me
totally
away.
So what advice would you give a newer dental student who wants to get involved with ASDA?
Do it. Just do it. There's so many ways to get involved at the local, district, and national level. There's also something for everyone. Any skill set you have or any passion you have, ASDA has an avenue for you to use it. First, I would say, check out our website, asdanet.org, to find out more. But, find out more about what our organization stands for. And then I would say contact your chapter president. They will be the best in-person resource I believe you'll find. And I would also say, don't be intimidated. A lot of these positions are elected or appointed, but you absolutely should take the chance. I mean, I'm serving right now with a trustee who was elected during his first year, and he's absolutely killing it. So you don't have to be a fourth year like me. You don't have to go through the whole journey of being vice president, president, or district member. Anything that you find a passion in, anything that you think you'll be good at, definitely get involved with it. So I don't think there's ever a wrong time to get involved with ASDA.
Just some amazing sound advice from Charles. You guys, thank you so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed what Charles had to say about time management. Follow him. If you have your Instagram, Charles, you want to talk about your Instagram really quick? Share your Instagram.
So I am on Instagram. You can find me at @Charles_DMD. Yeah, and that follow me. I always talk to pre-dental students or students from other schools. And I love connecting with dental students and dentists themselves. Yeah.
So Charles did say, find a mentor. And if you listen to this podcast and you want to ask some advice, connect with him on Instagram. Go ahead and say that again, @Charles_DMD. Awesome. Thank you, Charles, so much for joining the Impactful Wisdom podcast. You are amazing.
I always love chatting with you.
Oh my gosh. Let me just tell you, I have to say this before we head out. I meet, hundreds and thousands of students every year. And I talk with so many people. And one of my absolute favorites is Charles Buchanan. That's the reason why I had to ask him to join me today, because he is just like what you guys heard, he's focused, he's a go-getter, but I love that he loves to have fun and he's passionate. So, and he's willing to help anybody who's listening. So this is Charles, and I'm so excited that you guys were able to join us today. Have a great day. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you. Pleasure's all mine. See ya.
That was a lot of good nuggets that he shared with us today. The one that I took away from Charles was blocking out the schedule, and preparation is key. What did you guys think about that as far as building out time management for your own personal life, Amanda?
For me, I think preparation and blocking out time is crucial. I know for me, I do that all the time, and making sure there's time where I'm available if I need to be reachable, and time where I can focus or prep for an event or a meeting or a presentation. I think it's crucial.
And I was going to add, I think the biggest piece that I like takeaway is limiting the distractions in your life. And I think for me, I look at what is adding value and what's not adding value. So that's my motto many times. You know, you asked me earlier when you were saying, you know, how do you manage time? And Charles talks about limiting those things that are distractors. And for me, it's like, does it add value? If it does not add value, it's not important.
That is so good. Well, our next episode, we will be tackling diversity in dentistry with our very special guests, Dr. Badger and Taylor Jackson. You won't want to miss it.
You can listen to new episodes of the Impactful Wisdom Podcast every other week when you subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. Dental students, get your free guide, 10 Steps to a Successful Dental Career, at ImpactfulWisdomPodcast.com. There, you'll also be able to connect in every way with your favorite dental podcast hosts, the Heartland Dental Campus team.